Something about storytelling that you guys remember this or not, but if you do, it'll come in handy in the future. First of all of the stories and poetry and songs that we love were at one time inspired, if not actually oral. They weren't written down, they weren't word processed, none of that. So it's the oral tradition that starts things up. If you get a project, you have to do some creative writing. Not a bad idea to think about speaking it first. Now, the second thing about it is that stories come from everywhere. They're all around us. In fact, there's a poet, Muriel Rukeyser, who said, "The world is not made of atoms. It's made of stories." So with that in mind, we want to tell the history of Holden Village, where you live and go to school, with told stories. And these stories are told by people who have had these experiences. So they're first-person stories, for the most part. Now, in some cases, they might be stories about people we knew here. Those are second-person stories. And those stories are just as valid, but they aren't primary sources, speaking historically. Do you know what a primary source is?
Someone who's actually there?
That's right. That would be one. Another primary source would be a journal written by someone who is actually there. Another primary source? Photographs. Anything that is immediately recording an event that is taking place is a primary source. Alrighty, that's my lesson for today. I hope it was adequate. I have to check in with your teacher every once in a while. It's okay. Thumbs up. Alright. Now, our primary sources for today are Dennis and Clary. And when we first told this story, were any of you down on the left the night we told the story? I think it was the younger kids that were there. Okay, so here we go. We are we're going to discover a few things about Dennis and Clary. What do you know about them so far? You know their names, right? Have you ever talked to either one of them? No. Wow. Oh, Clary remembers. August. Clary's talked with August. About
Texas.
Of course. You both come from Texas. Why wouldn't you talk about that? Very good. All right, so now you're going to get acquainted with some of their recent history. And
It all began. It all started in the year 2002, and I had been widowed in the year 2000, and had had 45 years of a happy marriage. And by 2002, I was kind of just ready to kind of look around a little bit, but I didn't know what might happen. But my mother-in-law, who is age 80, what did we say, 4 maybe?
I think so.
84 years at the time, Evelyn Strang wanted to return to Holden. And Evelyn is one of the four runners of this village. She's been up here many times. She's written some books. She has some of her lectures are recorded. And she wanted to come one more time. I had never been to Holden, but I'd heard about it all the time from family members. So I said, I don't have anything to do. I'll go with you. So we flew from Dallas, Texas, to Seattle, and then we took the little plane to Wenatchee, and then some friends picked us up, and we stayed in Chelan that night, and took the boat up here. When we were at, you don't even know this part, when we were at Fields, what's it called?
Field Point.
I said to Evelyn, I'm just going to see if there's anybody getting on here I know. And And the last group of people to get on, I couldn't believe my eyes, were friends from Minnesota, including a lady I had traveled in 2001 to Sierra Leone, Africa, with her. And she was 75 years old at the time when we traveled to Africa. And there she was. And it turns out she had come up here for 3 weeks of volunteering, unbeknown to me, with her sister and her daughter and her son-in-law. So the four of us would always sit together in the lunchroom, dining room, and talk, you know. And pretty soon it became obvious that there were some other Minnesota people there. And by kind of figuring things out, discovered that Dennis was there from Minnesota. So now you can tell why you were here.
Well, I started to come in the year 2000. And I was also here in the year 2001 and 2002. But I came here because I had heard about Holden, mostly, I think, through church periodicals. And I decided that one of the things I wanted to do when I coming down toward retirement, and I wanted to check it out to see what the, you know, what this place was like and so on. And of course, I continued to come back every year except last year, and now we're back again this year. So we've been here, except for last year, continuously since. And I have been here continuously since.
Since when? Since the year 2000.
Yeah.
And Dennis is a farmer, so he was working around the village. I was just here as a guest. But I started to observe him, and I thought, oh, this looks like somebody I might like to get better acquainted. And we sat at this table with the Minnesota people, and my mother-in-law always sat next to Dennis. So I really didn't get to do all that much visiting with Dennis, but I kept an eye on him. Well, then, on 9/11, he then did the matins and read a poem. And I was into creative writing at the time. I thought, oh, a Minnesota bachelor farmer who writes poetry. Wow. So then it came time for us to leave. And that morning, going down to Lucerne, how many people do you think left the village?
Three
people left that morning. And the three were my mother-in-law, myself, and Dennis. So we had to sit around and wait for the fast boat to come. So Dennis and I sat on a rock ledge there, and Evelyn, my mother-in-law, kind of wandered away. And so we started to visit and get acquainted. And I remember on the boat, what did we talk about? Your Minnesota governor.
Oh, yeah. So we had a very same as governor at that time.
Do you know what they're referring to, the famous governor?
Ventura was...
Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura was our governor there at that time.
He's a former wrestler who thought he could be a politician.
He had a mullet, and he would throw people over the edge. And
had a very good way of offending just about everybody.
Yeah, I mean...
So we talked about that. So then when I returned to Dallas, I thought I sure would like to know some more about Dennis. So I went to the computer and looked up the Yellow Pages to get his address, because I didn't have that. And I wrote him a letter and asked for his poem that he had read that morning. And so he wrote back and sent me a copy of the poem. And then that started our letter writing. And then that was in August, September. Well, in October, I flew back to Minneapolis, because I was going to go to Luther College, Decorah, Iowa, for my homecoming. So I rented a car, and I drove down to Decorah, and then I made a point to come over to Mankato, which is not too far from the farm, and I stayed with my college roommate. And then I took the opportunity to kind of drive over and take a look around the town, because, you know, I just wanted to make sure, here I've been widowed, and, you know, to meet somebody, you know, how do you know? Not right.
person.
Dennis, at any point did you know you were being spied on?
Not at that point. No,
man.
and he was supposed to meet us in New Ulm for a morning for lunch with these Minnesota friends that had been here.
Uh-huh.
So he was off to North Dakota and had gone to a Norwegian festival up there. So we didn't get to meet there. But I drove out to the farm. Now, our farm has a 7/10 of a mile gravel driveway. So you take the one leg of like the letter L. So I drove in and then I turned and there was a car sitting there. I thought, oh, I don't want to go any further because I don't want anybody to, you know how small towns are, they talk. And I had a rental car. I thought, I don't want anybody to know.
Plus, you didn't know if that car belonged to a rival.
I didn't know what that car was doing there because I knew he was up in North Dakota. So I didn't. So I looked around the town and I went back to my friend. And well, then January came and I decided I would move to Minnesota, to Minneapolis for a month to try out independent living because I didn't know as a widow if I would like that or not. So I rented an apartment. And in the process, we're writing to each other. So Dennis came up to visit me. And then, what happened?
Well, our first real date, we went to a dinner theater. And we thought, well, there isn't any chance we're going to run into anybody we know. But we sat down at a table, and unknown to us, our choral group from my hometown,
Norwegian dancers
came that very same night to the dinner theater, and of course they ran into me and Clary sitting right there, and we figured, well, and of course my cousin, which is best friend, which I really grew up with, was in there. He came too, so we got acquainted that night in a big way, and I imagine the tongues were real twice. Wagging the next morning in that town.
So then Dennis took me from that theater back to Mankato because I thought, I'm going to extend this little visit a little longer, and stayed with my college roommate. So Dennis came in on Sunday morning to pick me up to take me to his church in Hanska. It was 19 degrees below zero. I'll never forget how cold it was for a Texan.
Mm.
So Dennis took me to church, and the church meets in the basement because it's so cold they don't heat the whole building. So they were all downstairs for their church service. And in we walk, you know, and they just couldn't believe their eyes. There was Dennis with a gal.
How many years had you been a bachelor?
Well, that's 68 years.
So after the church service, Dennis then showed me all around Hanska, and he showed me everything that I had seen, but I didn't tell him that I already had seen it. I didn't tell
pretended
him
until
after
first.
We were married. I didn't tell him, and he showed me all of the town and took me to the farm, and I found out tell him about the car that bothered me.
The car that you were talking about was a dead car that's been parked in my orchard for years and it's still there.
Living the bachelor lifestyle, huh?
And I told Dennis we can't. He wants to donate it, you know, donate cars. I said, no, we can't. That's our watchdog. Because we're gone 6 months in Texas and 6 months in Minnesota. So while we're not at the farm, that car is taking care of our farm. And so, now how much more of the story do you want?
Well, I think this is a very interesting story because what are you doing right now at Holden?
Well, we're volunteering.
Yeah.
We're volunteers.
What are your duties?
Well, I'm in ops and operations, and Clary's in laundry.
Half day.
So you see, what is this story about really? It's about Holden Village yesterday, today, and a tomorrow that happened yesterday, and another one, what comes next? after Holden Village? Is there something that you've started thinking about this time? The first time, it was a relationship. Then you've been up here several times since then. And in the process, is there a new idea or a plan that has come?
Tell her what I said?
Up?
I said, the next time I come to Holden, I'm going to come back as a visitor. Because I just feel like I've almost been cheated in a way this time. I came with the purpose of finding out about myself and doing nothing, not having a project. Every other time I've come, I've been writing, I've done this, I've done that. But what have I done? I've gone to all the sessions because they're interesting and I'm learning something. I've worked half a day with laundry. And so I really haven't had the opportunity to just do nothing.
Do you think you can think and do nothing when you leave? Is it possible that you do that part afterwards?
Yeah, I'm going to make that a goal. You know, that's the hardest part about leaving Holden when we're here these 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then to take with you down to Lucerne and back to Wenatchee and on the train. And by the time you get to Minnesota, what are you doing? Made a hair appointment, made a nail appointment, made a manicure. You know, how do you keep this? That is the challenge. And somebody suggested just take one thing. Just do one little thing different when I get back.
Very interesting. Will you tell us if you think of it before you go?
Yes, it's to do nothing.
Ah! Easier said than done.
Well, that's for sure. I know, knowing Clary, that will be a problem, just doing nothing.
I've come to the end of many responsibilities, many clubs, many organizations, many, many leadership roles. I'm at the end of that. So now I'm just going to take time for me. And I have a wonderful book Ann Basie gave to me before she left. What's the title again? How to Do Nothing. Wait, I have it right here.
Well, that would be a good start, I think, wouldn't you?
Where's my bag? Over there. Yeah, it's a wonderful title. It's written by Bishop Cantrell. And I haven't had time yet to get beyond page 4, but next week I'm doing nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
Till we leave. Do nothing to change your life. So I'm looking forward.
Get it? That's kind of a funny title.
It is.
There's a little bit of a contradiction there. That's why he says it's funny. One of those principles of comedy. Contradiction. I almost wore the formal I found in Potty Patrol today. I think I'll wear it tonight.
Claire, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What was it about this gentleman before he read the poem that had you keeping an eye on him?
Well, I watched him working from the carpentry, and I sat on that little stool chair that's carved out there, you know, on the hillside.
Mm-hmm.
And that week, I wrote my whole life up until that time. Each day, I took 5 or 6 years of the life and thought about one little thing or two things and wrote so that for my family, they have a record of some little memory that I have. Like age baby till 5 and then 6 till 12 and then 13 till, and so that's what I sat on that chair doing, watching him working. And he would be sweeping and cleaning and doing all these things, and you know, there's just something about but one of the last mornings I observed, one of the Mavericks, I think, or somebody came over and gave to Dennis a card, a goodbye card. I thought, wow, that he has that kind of a relationship with people. That's what I like.
That's beautiful. What about you, Dennis?
Okay.
Did you notice about Clary that made you...
She was always sneaking around the bushes watching it.
She's Texas gal with lasso.
I don't want to know
that. No, it was by could say that there were relationships that over the years that I was serious about, but nothing really ever worked out. And in fact, I broke off the last one, and by way of explanation, you know, that Claire was talking about this relationship that started out here. Well, it was kind of funny because at the time there was another lady from Iowa that came up, and I got acquainted with her. And in fact, we went on a hike together, and when we left, she like Clary asked if we could ride together again, and I said, yeah, we do that. So I went down to, had this other relationship going for a little while until I got, you know what a Dear John letter is. So it was kind of a double whammy there. But
so she got you on the rebound?
She got me on the rebound. Mm-hmm. And after I got acquainted with her, you know, usually there's when you have built up relationships over time, and you get to the point, and I think I got to that point very soon that this was somebody that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
Mm-hmm. And we especially had, what's our love of, what do we
travel?
Love? Travel.
Uh-huh.
And we've done a lot of travel.
Yeah, we both were looking for people to travel with. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to do in retirement anyway, so this it fit very well into my plans.
And I just like to add this little story about you. The first people I met at Holden 2 weeks ago were Clary and Dennis, and this is what happened. I came up the stairs on Lodge 1 with all my bags, and I stopped at the top, and Clary was standing at the top, and Dennis was sitting over in the back somewhere, and she said, "Hi, I'm Clary, and hi, are you staying here?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, and you're," I said, "I'm Marin. What are you doing?" And I told her I was you're a Hinderly then, is that right? And I said, "Yes." And then she said, "Well, you know, I have been looking forward to the storytelling because I and my husband have taken, what's the name of the speech?
Toastmasters.
We're both veterans of Toastmasters. And we really love to talk and tell stories. And so I said, you're coming to my class for sure. I'm counting on you. And then from the back stands up Dennis. And I'm Dennis. I'm Clary's husband. I married her." And that was how I met them both. And it's sort of typical, I think. Clary talks first, and then validator here, Dennis. Now, before we close, I just want to make sure that we do this right. So everybody has to be identified for the tape. And this voice that you're hearing right now is Marin Hinderly, and I'm the storyteller in the village for the end of August and the beginning of September 2009. And the kindly people who are participating in this particular story are, of course, and I'm going to let you identify with your, say your name, and then they'll know your voice.
Yes, thank you. I'm Clary Strang Brusty.
And
Dennis Brusty.
And we have the School of Chelan and Narnia, both parallel realities, represented here. Leader being?
Dave Sather.
And attending are?
August Kramer.
Kaylin Carpenter.
Marta McDuckrell.
And Caroline Wash.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. It was really fun having you here. I just regret that we didn't have a video because it would have been fun to catch the expressions of everybody at certain parts of this story.
So, Dennis, you were single for 60 some years?
Yeah.
And then some lady starts tracking you down?
That's what he was waiting for.
Well, it happens, doesn't it?
Larry.
It happens, yes.
It's wonderful. Wow. I would like to leave a challenge for the students here. And you might think about starting a Toastmasters group. That's available for teenagers, and that might be a
interesting thing
to organize.
It wouldn't have to necessarily be all teenagers either.
No.
It could be a mixed
group.
It could
be a mixed intergenerational, which would be more interesting.
I think it would be.
Yeah. Could be a lot of fun.
It is a speaking class to increase your confidence, because a lot of people just can't get up and speak. You know, they're so nervous, or they're, you know, and they'll say, repeat words and say ahs and ums, and ahs and ums, and ahs and ums, you know, lose a complete effect of you know that, because
you're
telling you a story, you got to keep it flowing, and keep it going as a story. And I think it's a very good program, and there's a lot of adults that would benefit from doing this very thing. It has a way of getting away from the bashfulness of getting up before a group of speaking. And I think it also has a program to keep you from becoming so inverted that you don't say, well, I can't say anything intelligent, or you know, no matter who you're talking to, you can talk to anybody. And I think that's one of the things that I've really been impressed about Holden, is, and you people have this exposure. Don't ever play it down. All these people that come here have a story to tell. You. Mm-hmm. Let them tell them. Mm-hmm. Let them tell where they were, what they've done, and where they're going, and a lot of people don't like to really brag about their accomplishments, but if you play these people out, you'll find out that they are some of the most talented people you'll find anywhere. I think you've got a very good chance to rub elbows with a lot of people. You probably won't remember them so very long, but you'll remember what they told you.
Mm-hmm. Or you might not remember what they told you, but you might remember the way they said it,
right.
Or what they were doing,
right.
You know, or how they looked. All of it interesting. And as a matter of fact, right now, there's a family here from Hungary. And it's so interesting. They're farmers from the flat part of Hungary. And, you know, it would be interesting to get to know a little more about their life and what they're doing here. You're smiling. You knew this before, didn't you? Have you met someone from this family already? You're the one!
She's one of them.
Yippee-yay. All right.
So I was hoping you would just like stay quiet and just be like, it would be nice to meet them too.
All right, Carolina. That isn't fair. All right. Now you guys get to tell us something interesting. At least I would like to know, and I think Clary and Dennis are both in agreement with this. We'd like to know if your point of view at Holden, of Holden Village, or of yourself, or of anything else in your world, has changed since you came here.
I think it changed a lot. First, the language and the people are very different. They just smile at you. They always want to do good things to you. So they talk to you. They're interested in what you I really like it here because of that.
That's really nice to hear, Caroline. And who came with you?
I'm here with my mother and Christopher, my brother.
How old is Christopher?
He's nine.
So he's with the elementary school right now. How old are you?
I'm 13.
13. Is this a different kind of school environment than the kind you...
Yes, it's really different. And in good different. I really like it here. It's I think it's much better. In Hungary, you have to learn much more differently. Like, you have to learn from a book, and you have to learn exact same things, and we write tests all the time, and it's just, and I like it here that the teacher explains things, because there they just say page 98 and learn it for next class, and here it's much different.
Carolina, your English is superb. How did you learn to speak so well?
My mother is an English teacher, and I was born here. And we usually come back almost every 2-3 years to practice, and that's why we're here now.
Wonderful. How long are you going to be here?
Until January.
Wow. Cool. You guys, do you think you could teach them a little Hungarian?
Yeah, sure. I was here for the summer, too.
You were?
And we were having fun with that. The Hungarian.
How's your Hungarian, my dear?
I learned the name of their president, but I can't remember it now. As far as I got.
Repetition, repetition, repetition. What you need to do is say his name every day, and she'll remember. But I don't know if you care about that so much. Maybe you'd rather know how to say hi to a teenager in Hungary. Do you have slang?
Yes.
So that's important. If you can say anything in slang in another language, it really helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, they usually say see ya.
See ya.
Yeah, that's...
Really not hard to remember, is it? Because it's sort of connected to see ya. See ya. Good.
I used to know what Christopher taught me what mom meant 3 years ago, but I forgot it by now.
Anya.
Yeah.
Anya.
Anya. This is August speaking right now. Yeah, so you want to tell us a little more about some ways that your point of view has changed?
I don't know if mine's changed that much.
How long have you been here?
I've been for 4.5 months in 06. That's where I know Christopher from.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're going to be here for 2 more years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so. And my parents met here in 85.
They met here too. Wow. So did this ring any bells for you? Do you know how your parents got together? Have they told you the story?
Yeah, I think we kind of... I mean, they were up there, and then everybody, there's a group of everybody who wanted to farm.
Uh-huh.
So everybody just kind of spread out, went back home, and everybody kept track of each other. My mom went down to work with my dad for a while, had the intention of, like, just going there to work, learn how to farm and buy land in Oregon. She never left down there. So, I mean, at Holden, everybody knew each other and got in that group.
Mm-hmm. So it was a group with a common interest.
Yeah.
So... How old were you when you first came to... Were you alive in 80... You weren't alive in 80.
No, that wasn't.
That was when your parents met?
That was when my parents met.
Yeah. All right. Had you been to Holden before you came this time?
Yeah, for the 4.5 months in 06.
06. Oh, that's when you were... Okay. Was there any difference between 06 and now?
Not too much.
No?
Since we're kind of released now, because we kind of came coming at the same time.
Did you have any... concerns that things might have changed?
Yeah, everybody and my parents were kind of right here really worried that they might have remodeled something else and messed with it. Because, I mean, in the blueprints that originally got changed, I mean, all of this was going to be completely ripped out and sheetrocked and stuff. But parents, so that's, we were really worried about that kind of stuff.
All this, meaning all of Koinonia?
Yeah, well, the office part, those used to be the best guest rooms in the village, and they remodeled Lodge 1 and Lodge 6. Don't know about the other lodges, but they were going to do it code. Like, all the wood had to be, like, covered with 2 layers of sheetrock, all the exposed wood. And a 3-inch sphere couldn't pass through any point on the railing up there. So they were going to completely do it, but then a bunch of people, they ran out of money and time, and a bunch of people raised cane and stopped it.
Wow, August, I'm impressed with the way you're talking about all this. You sound like you know a lot about construction.
Yeah, somewhat.
Is your dad in construction?
See, no, he can. Builder? He can do about anything, yeah. though. He's seen mechanics, welding, construction, all kinds of.
And do you work with him?
Sometimes. When you're at home, I do a lot more than
up here.
Interesting thing with August is that I know his grandmother real well. She's my very good friend, and I just saw her a week before I came. We were at a convention together in Texas.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we have one of the style queens of Holden Village here. Would you like to identify yourself, please?
I am Kaylin Carpenter, and I am in ninth grade and age 14. And I like color a lot.
I never would have guessed. If you could see her now, you would know why this is funny. She's wearing the rainbow, and then she's wearing the most interesting textured scarf. It looks like a Holden Village interpretation of a lay.
Did you finish that one anyway?
Did you make that?
Yes.
Scarf?
She just finished working on it this morning.
Oh my goodness.
Size 50 knitting needles.
It took 15?
No, size 50.
Size 50. Yeah. Oh, it's huge. They're huge. Wow. What a good idea. I bet it didn't take very long.
No.
That's the kind I like to do. That's one thing that's a kind of part of our culture here at Holden, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tell us a little bit more about the craft room?
Well, the craft cave. A lot of people here know how to knit, and so it supplies all the knitting stuff.
And oh, do you want to tell about the coffee boy who knits?
Joseph Coffee.
Yeah.
He's going to be a legend here at Holden, probably, as a 13-year-old male knitter. And
a lot of guys knit.
Well, the great thing about it is every place he goes to, knitting conventions and stuff, everyone thinks he's a girl. So
he has kind of longish hair.
Yeah, shaggy hair. But he's a really good knitter. And
right now, his father said their plan was that he was going to sell his knitting at the farmer's market.
Sideline anecdotal story about Joseph Coffee is that when Mary and I got married last December, we asked Joe in June if he would make hats for wedding favors.
Okay.
And young Joe made over 60, and each one was a different pattern and different colors.
Wow.
Oh, wow. And we had that done by September.
I think it was closer to November.
Yeah,
might have told.
He had a fair number. He had a fair number done by September.
He was popping them out later because lots of people wanted.
That's
hats,
right. That's
so
right.
So he kept giving them away.
It wasn't It's not uncommon for him to be hiking to Donkey or Holden or Heart Lake with two skeins of yarn in his armpits, knitting while he's hiking.
Oh
goodness!
Wow.
Yeah.
And just to. A nice parallel is that David is married to Joseph's sister, Mary. And where did you meet David?
Well, we met here. Our initial meeting was at the B&B. And then we came up here and we met. And then she lassoed me and
another one.
I said, okay.
What was your first impression of Mary?
She was frumpy.
Frumpy.
Neither one of us had a very good introduction. It was the summer of the forest fire at the Donkey Lake.
The
village was closed, and we were holding school down lake and for about two and a half weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary and I met at the B&B, and she had just driven from Bozeman, Montana, that day. So when she came in at 9, 10 o'clock at night, she was very tired, and the stress of the road was, you know, on her face, and she came in and wearing sweats, and I thought she just looked kind of frumpy. But I had, as she would describe, foot rot. I was wearing my Tevas, and they were emanating a stench.
So how attractive.
Her memory of me was foot stench. But curiously, that day was also her birthday, September 14th.
Hmm.
And the next morning, a bunch of us were making a card, you know, happy birthday, you know, something kind of nice and sweet before she came up to hold it. And I wrote in this card, happy birthday, I hope to get to know you better. And yes.
You got to know her better.
Well, yes, we got married and we're expecting our first in March.
March. Mm. Do students have any other questions you'd like to ask you?
Lady, we did.
I know, yeah. We haven't interviewed you yet either, but so name, please.
Well, I'm Marta Magdal Kroll. I'm 14 and in ninth grade. And I've lived here for the past 2 years. We arrived on the day that the fire started in 2007. So the first few weeks I was here were rather stressful.
I can imagine. So you were actually here in the village when the fire was going?
Yeah, it was. It started by a lightning strike, and so
which,
yeah, there was a huge.
Can I interrupt for a second? But that we hiked in the day before they noticed it, and we were sitting up on not too far off of a pass, watching lightning come down. So you're very welcome to sun strike. So we were here for a week there, and got evacuated the day we left when they were supposed to leave anyway. So we were there.
So you saw it start.
We didn't. We probably saw the lightning strike started. We didn't know it started.
You didn't know it started a fire.
Yeah.
Wow.
The trail probably went within a quarter mile where it started to. I think. Trail. So.
And did you cross paths then? Were you going out when you were coming in?
Well, I think we met because there was the day when we were under house arrest in Kaylin's house because.
House arrest.
Because her parents and my parents didn't want us wandering around and getting in the way of the people who were trying to get the guests out because they were going out the day before. So I think we met then. You might not remember.
I think I went in and out. I don't think I stayed in there the whole day.
Yeah, probably.
Out and wandered around and set up the fire hoses and stuff.
Well, so but you were here all through the fire then. You didn't have to leave?
No, we left. So the fire started and it went for about 2 weeks before we got evacuated. And so the guests went out one day and then all the staff, we were on staff, so we went out the next day and then we had to go to school in Chelan. We were out for like 6 weeks, I think, and school started while we were out, so we had to go in the basement of of the alternative school in Chelan.
It was the basement of the alternative school in Chelan.
And there were three of us. Everyone else had gone off to stay with people. And the boarding students hadn't come yet, so there was just three kids in the high school, which there's four of us now. So,
are there going to be more this year, do you think? Or is this it for this year?
Probably it.
Yeah, this is probably it.
Well, you're going to have some fun with the rest of the staff, I think. Is there going to be any staff here?
Well, I hope so. Someone's got to run this
take
place.
Care of
yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a saying that's going around these days that it takes a village to educate a child. And I would say that a village needs children to educate it as well. It's a two-way thing. So I think Holden Village is very fortunate that it has you here, just as fortunate as you are to be here. And do you have any questions about that you would like to ask any of us, including David, because he told us his story too. No?
I think everybody figures the last name in school time and waste take out time.
Yeah, we ask Dave questions in school.
Yeah, you want to save those for for math later class. When you need. I know that trick. I did that in Latin. I know that trick. We knew what questions to ask too. That would get Ora McLaughlin, my Latin teacher, going.
Okay.
And I bet you know what to get David going on too.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They...
Yeah, so what's with politics, Dave?
Star Wars?
Oh,
yeah.
Could you tell us something about that?
We run a tight ship over at Holden School.
Yes, we surely do. Well, obviously, because you have very bright students. And they are very self-confident, and I know that you're going to have a wonderful year this year and learn a lot and have fun, too. And don't forget what Dennis and Clary said. They both had really good ideas for you. Any way it works out, I think you could all... You could do a debate team, you know?
Well, I mean, this just popped in my head that you read your poem in 2002.
Yeah.
And this sort of sealed the deal. I mean, this is just a larger theme here, but
yeah,
this is symbiotic, symbolic, help me out here.
Symbiotic.
Nope.
Synergistic.
Symbolism. There's symbolism here, kids.
Symbolism.
That, and the theme is that even in this tragedy of 9/11, you know, you had a poem about it, mm-hmm. and this sealed the deal with Clary. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's almost, it's bittersweet, but...
right.
Well, tonight we're going to hear the two poems together. The one
okay.
he wrote in 01 and the one that came when did you write this?
They were both written in 01.
They were both.
But one much later than the other.
Yeah, and after having lived through some of the consequences, he learned something from that historical
right.
event. And I was very moved by it. And I think you will be too when you hear it. At 6:15, right here in Koinonia, we are going to tell stories of Holden yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And there'll be some new storytellers here. And we're going to continue this. We're going to hopefully have a listening, some kind of story booth, where you can tell your stories and maybe even get video as you're telling them. I know Paul Haynes is talking about this, and that's something for tomorrow at Holden Village. In the meantime, keep on asking questions, interview anybody you feel. You'd be surprised how happy people are to have you ask them a question about themselves. And how relaxing it is, because for one thing, you don't have to talk as long as you are willing to listen. And just remember that. It's a good way to get to know people, and you will find you have a lot in common with people that you wouldn't expect you did. Mm-hmm. Plus, you get to travel to some places you'd never dream you could have been to. Just by the stories they can tell. So, thanks for coming today. I hope this helped you a little bit with interviewing and ideas about interviewing and respecting your primary sources. Your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your friends, yourself. You're all primary sources.